brought to you by Penguin.
Left on 10th, A Second Chance at Life. Written and read by Delia Ephron.
If you are in Manhattan, traveling downtown in a car on 5th Avenue or 7th Avenue, and you want to turn onto 10th Street, you have to turn left. It's a one-way street, west to east. Left on 10th is my way home. I was left on 10th when my husband died, and after that, life took many left turns, some perilous, some wondrous. This book is about all of them. Part 1. Left. I knew my husband was dying in June. He'd been living with a terminal diagnosis for 6 years, but suddenly his cancer turned aggressive. The last time we saw the oncologist, he sent us home with a DNR, do not resuscitate, order, and told me to put it on the refrigerator. That's where they look, he said. He meant the EMTs. I wanted Jerry to die at home. He wanted that too, but we didn't discuss it much. I was passionate about it, thought of it as a gift I could give him, to die in his own bed. The bedroom is sunny and the walls are painted a minty green. On days when he felt good enough, I figured, my husband, who was a writer too, could sit at his desk and write. If he needed to nap, which he did now almost all the time, he could nap on the couch where he always liked to nap. We loved living on 10th Street, a shady, pretty block in Greenwich Village. I couldn't bear to put him through his final exit somewhere else that was clearly only a place to die. We redid our wills and updated our healthcare proxies. I began to rehearse being alone. I'd go to coffee with a friend or to some event, and on the way home I'd tell myself, imagine you are coming home and Jerry isn't there. He isn't there to share, to listen, to rant, to laugh, to comfort. Preparing for some unknown, for life without him, I also noticed that I needed to feel alive. I needed to walk fast on the street, get out, engage with friends. Dying was not where I wanted to be. I don't mean I didn't want to be with Jerry, but I felt, almost in a primal way, the need to feel alive. So there was a war going on inside, the need to be with Jerry, with his dying, and the need to be separate, and almost how alive can I feel? I had met Jerry in my early 30s when I was finding my voice as a writer. My book, How to Eat Like a Child, came out the first year we were together. I remember hearing him in the next room laughing as he read it. Jerry, a playwright and screenwriter, was in New York City doing the musical Ballroom, based on his television movie, The Queen of the Stardust Ballroom. We fell for each other, head spinningly fast, when a mutual friend brought him by my apartment. I felt I'd been looking for Jerry my whole life, and he felt the same. He had a cropped beard and great hair, golden brown. His brown eyes were soulful, and his voice was smooth, a beautiful tenor. Arguments and difficulties over the years, the kind that all relationships have in their own specific ways, really only deepened our bond. We knew that we belonged together, and the fact that we'd found each other was the luckiest thing. Before Jerry, I wasn't someone who knew much about love. I was raised in Beverly Hills, the daughter of screenwriters. My parents were a team. They wrote films you might see now on Turner Classic Movies. Desk Set with Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy. Daddy Long Legs with Fred Astaire and Leslie Caron. No Business Like Show Business, in which Marilyn Monroe sang, "We're having a heat wave." I'd been raised with expectations. All four sisters were expected to be writers. But my mother was cold to me and a drinker. She died in her 50s of cirrhosis. My dad was more loving but troubled and needy, a manic depressive as well as a drinker.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?